Monday, October the 19th, 289th day of the new year. Joining us this morning from sunny Fortuna. Ooh, do you go as a bank manager, branch manager?
Well, that was about 2 years ago.
Okay. No, I know John keeps moving you around. I don't know if it's a moving target thing or if these are consistent upgrades.
I like B better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what's your official title today?
Today, well, I'm actually in Eureka, and I am the Chief Lending Officer, Senior Vice President is my official title.
Senior Vice President. So what happens after you graduate?
From where?
Being Senior Vice President.
Oh, I don't know if there's an afterlife.
Okay. Okay. Sometimes I'm easy pickings. Our quote this morning comes from Confucius. When the superior man seeks is in himself, what the mean man seeks is in others. And mean is, I'm sure, middle regular, not nasty mean.
Just middle, like middle mean?
Yeah. Like mean high tide.
Like normal mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not nasty mean. Oh, I thought what we could do today is just, you know, we're hearing an awful lot going into the end of some fiscal years.
Mm-hmm.
When Macaulay's on, he's talking about extensions. We're at the end of the first quarter in the fiscal year for a bunch of them. Is numbers, balancing books, balancing checkbooks, all these things that kind of seem to be cute antiquity, things nobody does anymore because, well, everything's electronic. There's no mistakes there. The bank's always right because it's all electronic. And that's why you have auditors.
Right.
So right. What are some of the basic fallacies, Jennifer, that people have got about numbers, financial numbers? I mean, if you pick off the top five things that the community doesn't know or doesn't think about, what would they be?
And are you talking specifically to like profit and loss statements and balance sheets? Or are you talking more about like
I'm talking about regular guy
banking?
About anything.
Well, I think one thing is you hit on a really important thing in terms of that banks never make mistakes. The bottom line is they absolutely all make mistakes. There's no doubt about that. And so one of the things that people really need to make sure they do is review their bank statements, review their accounts. You know, we've had instances where either checks have been deposited into wrong accounts or debits have hit checking accounts in error, meaning they were supposed to have gone through someone else's account. And either usually that's typically going to come from miscoding, which is what the bank does with
the funny numbers at the bottom.
Exactly, those funny numbers at the bottom. So if they don't go through correctly, then what can happen is they can mispost and go to a different account. And so if you're not reading your account, reviewing your account, I should say, then, so say as an example, a check hits your account in error for $50, and maybe the person on the other end was reviewing their account, and they're like, I wrote that $50 check in, and it shows it cleared, but it didn't hit my account. There must be a mistake. Well, you know, an honest person is going to call the bank and say, hey, I wrote this $50 check, but it didn't come out of my account. And we would figure it out there. And we
or,
would say,
hey, this thing popped into my account. What's going on?
In error. Right. Exactly. And so.
Thanks for the present.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you hear there's stories about somebody ended up with $10 million in their checking account one day in error. And then, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was gone 2 days later, but they had it for 48 hours. So, but, you know, we rely, of course, on folks to make sure that they're reviewing their accounts and their numbers to for any possible errors.
What percentage of people do you think review? I mean, I know we get a pound of paper.
Yeah.
Any idea? 10%, 20%, 90%?
Oh, no, I would say it's got to be over 50% at least. And nowadays with online banking, it's so much easier to go in and look at your accounts than to have to wait for a statement and then to sit down and actually, you know, take a hard copy statement and balance it back to your checkbook. So it's just so much easier nowadays through everything that we have electronically based to be able to monitor those things that I think people are reviewing them much more than they used to.
KINS News and Information Times 819.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank, senior everything.
Senior moment.
Yeah, no kidding anymore. So we were talking about some of the fallacies or some of the things that the general public does in association with banks and numbers that are perhaps not the wisest thing that we could do. You'd already indicated, you know, trusting the bank not to make any mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's always intriguing for us to ask some of the younger people here or that we've just run into, know how to balance a checkbook?
Mm-hmm.
A what?
A what?
Let alone anything else, yeah. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose technology really is a two-headed monster.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And, you know, we're coming up to an era now where a lot of these kids down the road won't even ever write checks. You know, everything's going to be done through debit cards and credit cards, and everything's going to be electronical.
And envelopes.
Yeah, exactly. Stamps. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, very archaic.
So if number one is be sure you check and double check, what would be another mm-hmm. area that people shoulda, coulda, woulda?
I would say another area that we see a lot in the banking world is embezzlement, and this is mainly tied into businesses. It's amazing how many situations that we've come across where we have situations where it's an owner maybe has entrusted their books to someone else in the office or the organization. And, you know, it could be a year, it could be 3 months, it could be 2 years. And all of a sudden they realize that the person that they've entrusted with their finances has been stealing from them.
Does it normally be, is it normally a large amount or is it like, you know, the $300 a pay cycle?
I think what we typically see is that it starts at smaller amounts. And usually what happens is they, and from what I understand, a lot of times it's not untypical where the intent is maybe they'll take it and then their plan is to pay it back. But then all of a sudden they are in a situation where they can't pay it back. And it was kind of like, oh, that was pretty easy and I didn't get caught. And so now, you know, they're starting to increase it more and more and more. And then pretty soon it gets to the point where it becomes, you know, fairly noticeable. But there's a lot of check and balance systems that businesses can put in place, you know, to deter fraud. And
the one I've heard, number one easy is boss, whoever boss is, signs the checks.
Mm-hmm.
And opens the mail.
Yep. That's
nothing really high tech or extraordinary, just kind of simple.
That's
basics.
Kind of 101. You're exactly right. So you've got a different set of eyes between who's signing the checks, who's balancing the books, and then who's reviewing those bank statements. And so that's your spot on there, Brian. And that's, you know, one of the things I think that, because a lot of it's a trust issue, you know, I mean, where, and understandably so, because, you know, when you've got somebody handling your books, you want to be able to trust them. But the other thing too, and a business owner told me this one time, and I thought, you know, this actually makes a lot of sense. What he did was, or what he does is that he has one person who reviews the bills. And then he has one person who prepares the checks, and then he signs the checks, and then he has one person do another review before they're sent out. And he said that he had, when we were talking just the month before, he caught a situation where somebody had overpaid $10,000 to one of their vendors. And so, you know,
isn't a small business, is it?
Yeah. No, it was. It's a large business.
You want to talk about bells going off?
Yeah, right.
And, if I put an extra zero in a check, Ange is in here in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. The main boss, yeah. Your main boss, would be here in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just really prudent to have that check and balance system in place just for, you know, prevention of embezzlement, but also just to make sure errors don't occur. And, you know, it just seems like I'm just amazed at how many of these situations that I've heard about just in Humboldt County alone. I can't even imagine, like, on a national basis, you know, how many times this occurs. And, you know, and again, I don't know that it's ever it comes right out of the chute, you know, where somebody just says, oh, I'm going to steal from my employer. I think it's something that, you know, the intention on the front end is maybe not necessarily to, the plan is to pay it back, and then they get in a situation where they can't, and then they realize that it's fairly simple to do, and it just becomes larger and larger. And one of the other things, too, is a lot of times it may not just be something as simple as they're writing themselves a check. You know, some of the ways we've seen people do it would be an example of they take their PG&E bill from home, and they bring it in and they put that with the business's PG&E bill, and they write one check to PG&E to cover those two bills together, and then they send them in. So they're getting their personal PG&E bill paid by the company. I mean, that would just be an example of where it maybe isn't something so blatant.
Are small businesses more susceptible than mid-size or larger businesses? I mean, the $10,000 whoops. So, yeah, I mean, there are a number of businesses that probably wouldn't even cause an issue, let alone get caught. And then you got the itty-bitty guys where if it's $100 off, they're going to really be paying attention and wondering what, you know, how come all of a sudden PG&E went up $150?
Right. And yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And actually, I've seen it at all levels. But part of it's going to be depend upon the sophistication of your bookkeeping system and what kinds of checks and balances you have in place. But yeah, I mean, on the higher levels, it's going to probably be easier because you're dealing with such larger dollars. So for it to be noticed is probably going to be less likely. But the flip side of it is when you have a smaller business, you may not have such a sophisticated financial statement in place where it's become so apparent.
What about cash? I mean, I would think that would be one of these top fives also. If you're a bar, a restaurant, retail, maybe not retail so much, but certainly some retail, cash is almost as prevalent as check.
Absolutely.
Is cash still one of those areas that there's an opportunity for, or because of the obvious nature of it, a lot of people are kind of locked down and paying attention to their systems when it has to do with cash?
Cash is king, baby. Cash is king. So I would say that is definitely one of those areas where I would still think that there's a lot of siphoning that goes on at the register and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there's a lot of systems nowadays that are definitely more advanced. But there are certainly ways for it to be done.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Jennifer, before the break, we talked a little bit about cash, that's still kind of out there. And I know that there are, I'll be very, very generous and say urban legends, where if you pay cash at a hotel, you get a little different price. Mm. If you're at the restaurant, okay, and it's treated a little bit differently. Or you know, the craftsman at some of the craft fairs, okay, again, treated a little bit differently. I would think as a business operator, you would want to have some lockdown, rock-solid systems in place, because all you need is one silent partner, and you're upside down, and you don't really know what hit you. How do you recommend for those who are in, I guess we have to say legal, cash-based businesses, to ensure that everything is processed properly, is above the boards?
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking along the lines of like skimming at the register or more?
Wherever. We're counting the bundles for the bank and we throw in an extra one and, you know, handling and delivery charges.
Uh-huh.
And it's pulled out at the bank before you enter the facility.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think, again, it comes back to having some good check and balances in place, you know, in terms of how are your, you know, if you take a retail store as an example, and someone brings an article of clothing up to the register, you know, do you have a scanning POS system in place? Or say you're at a grocery store, that would be another example. So, you know, as if you have a scanning POS system, then they're having to run everything across that POS system, and it's registering electronically, you know, within that system to come up with a total. And so it's going to be a lot more challenging or difficult to try to, because you've got something to foot it back to.
But then with the returns.
Yeah. And so, or avoided transaction. Exactly. And so a lot of times I'm seeing businesses where the only people that are allowed to void a transaction or do a return of any kind are going to be like management level or higher. And so it's always going to require a second person to be able to authorize that. And that's a really good check system to have in place.
What about checks? Mentioning checks.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of what checks. About checks? Are they, I know they're different now than what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
When we had the goofball thing with the fiber optics.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't take checks. What do you mean you can't take a check? Can't verify it. So? How have checks changed in this whole process? Also, are checks more like cash now?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they more like a credit purchase or a credit card purchase?
They're both. And it depends upon the sophistication of the business that's taking them in terms of what they have for technology. So you'll notice a lot of times stores you'll go into and what they'll do is they'll take that check and they run it through a scanning machine. And the scanning machine is treating it exactly like it would, say, a Visa check card, where it's looking at the balance that's in that account to confirm that it's not in excess of what that check is written for.
So somebody, you can't float. It's tougher to float.
Right. So if you write a check for $100 and it scans it and there's only $90 in your account, then it's going to show non-sufficient funds right there. Versus back in the day when prior to that technology, they'd take the check at face value. I mean, meaning that they don't have any way to double check verification of funds other than picking up the phone and calling a bank. And what they do is they just wrap it with their deposit. They send it into the bank. And then if it's a check on us, meaning that the check was written off Rebecca Capital Bank and clearing through Rebecca Capital Bank, we know that same day. But otherwise, if it had to go through the clearinghouse, so say it was written on Wells Fargo, then that would allow a couple more days, that float time you're talking about. So from the time you actually wrote the check to the time it cleared, used to be back in the day, you might have, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, you know, to actually get the money in the bank if you actually wrote a check that didn't have sufficient funds.
Yeah, write a check on Saturday, you're paid on Monday.
Exactly, exactly. And nowadays with technology, float time has gone down so much. I mean, to the point where there's really very little float opportunity.
So that's what the ha-ha-ha is when they run the check through?
Yeah, like they give it back and say, put your shirt back, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. Are checks going to disappear before cash, or is cash going to disappear before checks?
Oh, no, I think checks will be gone long before cash. I don't imagine cash will ever disappear. Well, I shouldn't say ever, because at some point in time it could and probably will, but that's going to be a long time to come. But checks, yeah, I mean, checks we're already seeing just a lot of companies, a lot of businesses don't even take checks anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Haven't you noticed you've gone into restaurants and they'll say no checks accepted?
No, I'm normally looking at the menu by the time I...
Well, it's definitely their, yeah, because they don't want to deal with them, that exact reason. They'll take cash or they will take credit cards and that is it.
Will they take firstborn?
Depends on the firstborn.
No. Okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Jennifer Budwig.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital. Jennifer, the concept of financial documents, I think a lot of folks get lost in their tax returns, let alone understanding profit and loss. What are those things you have to do when you take a loan out?
Personal financial statements?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff and the information that you're trying to gather. Do you have to walk a lot of people through that process? Or are people kind of up to speed if they're asking for like a real estate loan?
I would say it's definitely a mixed bag. I mean, we've got some who, you know, are a little more sophisticated on the financial side that, you know, if you say you need a personal financial statement, they're going to know exactly what that is and what that means. And then we have some who are not going to have any idea at all, and you definitely need to sit down with them and kind of walk them through the process. And then you have a little bit of everything in between. I think businesses nowadays, they seem to be, and I think a lot of this is just the technology that's available out there, but they're much better nowadays than compared to 10, 15 years ago in terms of being able to provide, like, say, an interim financial statement on their business and one that's accurate. So what I mean by that is, you know, you might get your year-end stuff. So say, you know, as of December 31st, 2014, you know, it's like, okay, well, here's my tax return. And that's great. But if we're working with a business, and say we have a business that's looking for a loan, well, here we are in October, right? So if we're using that year-end 2014 information, then it's going to be pretty old by now, because that was 10 months ago. So we're going to request an interim financial statement on that business. And so most businesses we work with, they do have the capabilities to provide that to us fairly simply because they use Quicken or QuickBooks, and they are able to they're staying pretty current on their financials. So it's just a matter of printing out something for us. But we definitely have some who, you know, who don't, or maybe they just have like their accountant do quarterlies for them. But that's one of the areas I think that there's definitely, as time progresses, hopefully people will become more and more fluent with that, because I think the ones that we see that are really, really successful in business, a lot of times are really tuned into their financials. And I mean, at any given day, they can pull a P&L and they kind of know the ins and outs of it, and they understand cash flow and they understand what a balance sheet means, you know, and your assets and your liabilities and all the ins and outs there, and really have things fine-tuned, you know, from the standpoint of really having things dialed down to what the day-to-day sales are, what the day-to-day expenses are, you know, things of that nature, what their margins are, you know, and what their overhead nut is, so to speak, you know, where their break-even point is, you know, things of that nature. So,
do a lot of folks not know what it costs to open the door each day, a business, you know, to know what the daily break-even is?
I would say that there's definitely some out there that don't, you know, that maybe aren't as tuned into their financials to really understand, you know, what that number is. And probably the newer, and like a newer business, I would say, because over time, you know, when you have a business, you eventually work with your accountant and or mentors and or other folks, or, you know, maybe people within the industry that have that expertise and knowledge. So you become educated through the process. And so as time goes by, you learn more and more. And so, you know, after a while,
it's the school of hard knocks, I believe.
It is, yeah. Absolutely the school of hard knocks.
What about security? Is security one of those things that people pay attention to with their financials? You know, it used to be the credit card, never let it out of sight. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, you never leave it on an internet website. Never. I mean, there's a whole laundry list. Things change.
Mm-hmm.
Are we more blasé about personal security now?
I don't think so. I honestly see it tightening up more than anything. And the reason being is because identity theft is becoming such a bigger deal and such a bigger problem all the time. And, you know, there's so many hacks going on out there in the web world. You know, you're hearing of all these different really large, you know, companies starting with Target, but Target was one of our largest breaches that happened that I think really brought it to light. And
or the government.
Yeah. Then there's China, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it definitely, I think as this becomes more, people become more and more aware of this and how often we're seeing this, that I think people are getting smarter about it and taking more precaution and just being more cautious in terms of who they disclose their information, how they disclose it, what they use online, you know, just emailing stuff back and forth.
Just paying attention.
Exactly.
Very cool. Well, hopefully we didn't bore anybody today and they're all paying attention. Thanks for coming by. Say hi to old, what's his name, okay?
Old Big Guy Dolby?
Big guy, small guy. Yeah.
Well,
he'd
be little
you
guy.
Betcha. You betcha.
To me,
Petite
he's big
John. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone, you'll see you.